our daily bread, that is, provide us with all our bodily needs, so that we may acknowledge that you are the only fountain of all good, and that our care and labor, and also your gifts, cannot do us any good without your blessing. Grant, therefore, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it only in you. So far, the Catechism. The theme for the preaching this afternoon is, it's not just a sandwich. And just a one note about the sermon. This sermon was prepared in connection with the custom we have in Abbotsford. Maybe you have the same custom. I didn't actually ask anyone. Of in the springtime having a prayer for crops and labor. So a prayer that the Lord blesses the work we do. Traditionally, that's done in the spring, because traditionally, of course, many of us were farmers. That's changed. In any case, you'll find references in the preaching to that custom of the prayer for crops and labor. And that's why. The theme is, it's not just a sandwich. After the sermon, we will sing the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, hymn 66, all three stanzas. Dear congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, here in Sardis, it's just a pork chop. It's just a hot dog. It's just a salad. It's just a bowl of oatmeal. It's just a cup of coffee. Some of you had a cup of coffee in between the services. It's just a sandwich. Every day you open the fridge, you plug in the coffee pot, you turn on the stove, you rummage in the cupboard, or your teenagers do. Every day you have breakfast to start the day, you pack your lunch, off to work, you sit down with your family for dinner. It's just the way it is. It's just a sandwich. Sandwich with ham and cheese and mayo, or peanut butter, or tuna salad. Nothing remarkable, nothing worth talking about, nothing the catechism would need to be bothered about. It's just a sandwich. But is it just a sandwich? It's not just a sandwich to the Lord. To the Lord our God, it's a need he created in all of us that requires filling. To the Lord, it's a gift he gives you each and every day. Imagine you didn't have this gift. If you didn't have that sandwich, you'd grow weak. If you didn't have that sandwich, you would suffer. Imagine suffering resulting from missing out on such a simple little thing. You'd be in pain. You'd struggle to work and function. On the other side of that sandwich, on the other side of that sandwich is blessing and well-being. So no, it's not just a sandwich. When was the last time you went without that sandwich, if ever? When was the last time you went hungry? When was the last time you even considered the possibility that you might have to go without food? Every day you're fed. Every day he provides. That sandwich, it's not just a sandwich. The Lord Jesus, we're reminded this afternoon from the Catechism, taught us to pray for our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Among the great and the high spiritual priorities, kingdom, the will of God, forgiveness, temptation, all these on our prayer list, a simple sandwich, our daily bread. It doesn't seem very important. Why waste our breath asking God for a sandwich? Does God care about our sandwiches? He does indeed. To him, as we've said already, they're not just sandwiches. That was the lesson that he was teaching the Israelites during their desert journey. You're probably aware, the children know this, I'm sure, there's not a lot of food in the desert, not a lot of sandwiches in the wilderness. And the Israelites soon discovered this on their journey from Egypt over to Palestine. And they discovered how much they missed their ancient equivalent of sandwiches. They missed the food they had every day in Egypt, even though they were slaves there. When their bellies got empty and their tummies started to rumble, they got to the point They got to the point where they would actually accept being slaves again in Egypt if they could just have a sandwich, a good meal. They go to Moses, they grumble, they say, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full." They were willing to exchange their new freedom for a plateful of sandwiches. It was a perfect opportunity for the Lord to teach them and to teach us a lesson about our place as creatures and His place as the Creator and Provider. Out there in Exodus 16, in the wilderness, in the land of no bread, the Lord, as it were, rolled up His sleeves to teach everyone a thing or two. "Behold," He says. And boy, does that word ever make you sit up and take notice. "Behold, I'm about to rain bread from heaven for you." Who ever heard a thing like that? Bread doesn't rain from heaven. Sandwiches don't grow on trees. But the next morning, the Israelites wake up to a miracle. They go outside. They find the ground covered in some white seed-like stuff that neither they nor anyone has ever seen before. In surprise and wonder, they say, "What is it?" That becomes its name, because that's what manna means. It means, "What is it?" What it was a miracle from God, and more than enough food to provide for the entire nation of the Israelites out there in the desert for their entire 40-year journey. The lesson that God was teaching the people then is the same lesson that we're reminding ourselves of this afternoon as we pay attention to this petition, "Give us this day our daily bread." The lesson is trust and gratitude. We work, we earn our pay, we shop, we stock the cupboards, we pull out the ingredients when we want to make a sandwich or something else, soup or supper. But we isn't the whole story, is it? Where does our work come from? Where does the health and energy come from that we need to do that work? Do you or I really control all the factors that allow us to find and to hold down a job that will put sandwiches on the table? Is it really because we are so good at things that we earn what we do? There's many who work as hard or harder that earn so much less. Is it really us? And where does all the food in the grocery store or the farmer's market come from? Such abundance. You ever think about that? Such variety. So many different choices. None of us here eats the same menu week to week as anyone else because we have so much choice. I can have what I like, you can have what you like. And none of us here ever goes short either, because the shelves at the supermarket are always full. A shortage, if it ever happens, is a rare and passing thing, so much so, in our experience, that it puts people into a bit of a tizzy and a panic, and it triggers binge buying in case there isn't enough. But there is always enough. And is all this variety, and is all this abundance due to our hard work and our planning? This petition tells us a different story. It's God who sends the rain, God who sends the sunshine that makes the food grow. The real story is that God is the one who provides. Every time we eat a sandwich, it's not just a sandwich. It's what Paul was pointing out to the people of Lystra. All this food that you've been eating all this time, he says, it's a witness from the only true God. Don't call us gods, Paul and Barnabas. Look to the only true God who gives. Your sandwich is a gift that God made happen. At every step of the journey that led to that sandwich being on your plate, God had a hand to make it happen. In that sense, a sandwich is just as much a miracle as the manna the Israelites found on the desert floor. Without God's providential guidance and supply, there is no sandwiches. So that sandwich is not just a sandwich, it's a gift. It's a sign of God's power and friendliness to us, to everyone. It's a witness of his presence and his power. It's a reminder that you are dependent and small and needy. It's proof that God is generous and ever-present and faithful and there every single day, never letting us down. That's a lot of stuff, isn't it? That's a lot of meaning packed between two slices of bread, more than just bread and cheese for us to chew on. Indeed, there's a very good reason why the Lord Jesus included a petition about our daily bread alongside the kingdom and forgiveness. And there's a very good reason why it's our custom, in particular, to pray in conjunction with all our meals. We sit down together, so there's an occasion for us to do this. But every time we put food on the table, it reminds us that we live by the grace of God. So we pray. And there's a very good reason, and I mentioned this before the sermon, why we observe, we do in Abbotsford, maybe you do here, I'm not sure, the further custom of having this formal communal prayer once a year for crops and labor at the beginning of each growing season. What it comes down to is food, sandwiches, whatever, is an important, basic, daily reminder that we are creatures who are tied to the Creator. God made us to need food, and without food we cannot live. And God is the one who provides that food. Food keeps us mindful of Him. It's a witness of Him. We're dependent on Him, and it's a daily calling for us to live in a relationship with Him. That's what God wanted the Israelites to understand and to remember during the desert journey. There was no way through that desert that was not opened up by the Lord leading the way with his cloud of smoke by day and his pillar of fire by night. There was no way. If the sand didn't bog them down, then enemies would catch and kill them. If the enemies didn't catch and kill them, then they were doomed to get lost. If they didn't get lost, then the lack of food would take away their strength. If the lack of food didn't steal their strength, then lack of water would make them faint and die. So, God showed them the way. And God defeated their enemies, even drowning Pharaoh's army in the Red Sea. And God made their sandals last the whole time. And God sent them quail so they had meat and manna so they had bread. And God brought them water from the rock. God provided for a people who were helpless. And it reminds us that we are all, in truth, helpless. We feel strong. We feel in control, like we have everything in hand, like it's just normal and expected that we go to work on Monday morning and we get a paycheck on Friday and we go shopping on Saturday. But we're no more in control of those things now than Israel was then. Or, for that matter, than Israel when they finished their journey and got to the land of Palestine. When they left the desert and entered Palestine, were they suddenly now more in control, less dependent? In Palestine, once the land was tamed, there's no journeys anymore to get lost on. There's grain in the fields, water in the cisterns, grapes on the vine, just like God promised. But were the people really any less helpless than they were in the desert? God was still the one providing all of this, wasn't he? Just in a different way. All our care and labor, says the Catechism. And also God's gifts cannot do us any good without God's blessing. That's what we confess. That's the meaning of this petition. Does that sound like we are the ones in control? Does that sound like we are independent, able to take care of ourselves? Thank you very much. Quite the opposite. Sounds very much like we are dependent and helpless and would be in a very bad place if God did not every day faithfully without fail exert his power to make sure that the fixing for a sandwich is in the cupboard and in the fridge. Every day, I want the children and the students to think about this for a second this afternoon. I'm sure you do science class and you learn about animals in your science class. Maybe you know that there's some animals that don't need to eat every day. There's some animals that only need to eat every few weeks, like a crocodile or a python. They can eat one great big meal, and then they can digest it over a long period of time. They don't need to eat every day. One meal will sustain them for days and days. Or maybe you've learned in science class about other animals that only need to eat for a part of the year. So they fatten themselves up during the summer, and when they're all roly-poly, then they go and sleep their way throughout the winter, living off of their fat reserves. They don't need to eat every day either. But neither of those patterns will work for us, will they, students? I don't think that it will work for you if you try to eat one great big sandwich and then not eat for 2 weeks. And I don't think it's going to work if you don't eat from October till March. Though we may, for various reasons, miss eating for a day or two, by and large, our bodies are designed to need refueling every single day. You sleep, you get up, you start a new day, and you need to eat and drink. And every day the need is the same. Food and drink keep you going, which means that every day you're reminded, God is reminding you that you need him. And you need him today, you needed him yesterday, and you're going to need him tomorrow. Every day you need the sandwich that is the emblem of God's care and generosity to us, like a tether that keeps us connected to him, coming back to him. In the desert, it was a test, this manna that God gave every day. With the manna, God gave specific instructions to the Israelites. First, he told them, just gather enough for a day. Don't gather a whole bunch. Don't gather for the week, just for the day. And the point was that the Israelites would learn and would remember that God provides every day, that we need him every day. If you gathered enough for the whole week, then you'd remember that day, and then the rest of the week you wouldn't think about it. Of course, there were some greedy or not trusting people who gathered more than just one omer, and they found out that the manna spoiled quickly and could not be saved. So they still had to go out the next day, same as everybody else, and they had to gather more. The second part of God's test was on the Friday. Fridays, God told the people, this is the day you go and gather two portions. Because on Saturday, which was the day of rest in those days, instead of Sunday like it is now, there would be no manna. Isn't that remarkable, actually? No manna on the Saturday proves that the manna wasn't just an accident of nature, but a miraculous gift under God's full control. And part of the miracle is that this substance, that if you tried to save it any other day, would go bad overnight, now suddenly, once a week, on Friday night, it doesn't go bad. Of course, once again, there's people who don't trust, who don't obey, who think they know better than God. They've seen the manna spoil. They're probably the same ones who tried to gather more the other days. So they, on Friday, they, again, disobey, and they only go out and gather for one day. And on Saturday, they go out looking for more, and there isn't any. And they go hungry, and hopefully they learned their lesson. Hopefully we also learn the lesson. The lesson spelled out by the catechism with these words, grant therefore that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and put it only in you. God's daily distribution of food is a constant test of our ability and willingness to trust him to be our provider. Are you dependent on him? Is that how you see yourself? Or are you dependent on yourself? Do you take for granted your sandwiches? Do you acknowledge him and give thanks to him? Or do you pat yourself on the back, say, good job. I did a good job. I'm a good worker. I'm a successful business person. I provide. The sandwich test, if I may call it that this afternoon, it has two components. First, God is testing whether you will show gratitude for his gifts instead of patting yourself on the back. Will you remember to ask him for the food that you need and accept your place as a creature in need of the Creator's blessing and providence? And will you thank him when the Creator gives his blessing and his gifts? That's, of course, where prayer fits in and why this petition is part of prayer. It is through prayer that we ask God, indicating our dependence, and it's through prayer that we thank him, showing our gratitude. That's the first part of the test. And in connection with that, I want to say again that I hope you can see that a sandwich isn't just a sandwich, something simple but full of meaning, and that Jesus was indeed right to include such a basic, mundane thing in this prayer along things that look more important. A sandwich is it's a spiritual apron spring that ties us to our Father. We can't go far, we can't do much without our Father's blessing, without his permission, without his will. And we can't really claim to be his children if we don't get down on our knees to show him that we understand all this. Lord, it's not just a sandwich. I see that now. It's your daily reminder. It's like your phone. Some of you probably use your phone as a reminder. If you have an appointment or an alarm in the morning, it rings, it dings, and then that thought pops into your head. Oh, I have an appointment. Or if you're a reader, it's a remembrel. Some of you won't know what that is, but some of you might. A device imagined by author J.K. Rowling, who imagined this little globe that glows when you've forgotten something. So you've forgotten something, and then it reminds you. Or if you're more conventional, it's like a piece of string. You read about that. Does anyone ever actually do that? Tie a piece of string around their finger? I've never seen it, actually. But anyways, supposedly people do that to remind them of something important. That's how God uses your sandwiches, your food. It reminds you of something extremely important, that you're dependent on him. Your life is a gift from him, and you need to thank him for that gratitude and trust him. Trust is very much that second part of the test. We talked about it in terms of the desert for the ancient Israelites, the Sabbath day, the day of rest. In the desert, God told the people not to gather on the rest day because he would provide enough the day before, on the other days, so that they didn't have to work on the Sabbath day. It really was a test whether they trusted him to give enough so that they could obey him. The test hasn't changed. The day has changed. It's Sunday now. But the command not to work is the same. And the temptation is the same. If we're not trusting God to provide, then we think, I have to go out. I have to earn more so I can eat. But God says, you don't. I want you to rest, and I will make sure that you have enough the other days so that you don't have to work and you can spend the time with me, says God. Trust. So gratitude and trust. God teaches us these things with sandwiches. When it comes down to it, that's what he wants us to think about whenever we fix ourselves a sandwich. And we do that by custom, mostly by praying before we eat. As we spread the butter or the mayo, as we add our ham and cheese or peanut butter, We need to feel that gratitude and that trust. If we don't feel these things, it's just a sandwich. And we fail to honor the God who gave it. But if we do think of these things, feel these things, it's way more than just a sandwich. It's a daily reminder, God loves you. You, through Jesus Christ, are his child. And you can use the energy he gives you with the food he supplies to serve him. So when you grab breakfast as you rush out the door, or when you sit down with your family to eat a dinner with laughter and banter, or when you fix a meal for yourself after a day by yourself, or when you join in with the community as we did last Sunday afternoon to ask God's blessing on the planting, food becomes something spiritual. Eating becomes a moment of connection with the Lord as he intended, and then a sandwich is indeed no longer just a sandwich. Amen.